Welcome everybody that's maybe listened to us by 88.3. We'll get the rest of the people on later on. And we're going to have communion right now because Jesus is here. We want to remember his death until he returns. So we're going to start our service off with communion this morning. As these guys come on out, we'll let you come up and take your communion. We're going to let you take it on your own this morning. We've been doing it together the last few weeks, but I want to just let you meditate. And as these guys get up front, I'm going to pray, and then you can come forward and make your way back to your seat. Lord, we thank you for this privilege we have to be in your presence. We thank you for your love and mercy. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be in your presence. And we just pray right now, Lord, that as we set our hearts and minds to seek you, nothing greater to seek, Lord. This world system's falling down, Lord, and all everything in the world, it's everything in it, it's the world system, Lord. It's all coming to a close. We just want to recognize you as we race toward the end of this age, as we keep you in front of us, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus, for dying and taking our place on that cross. We should have been the ones that hung on that cross. It was our sin that nailed you to that tree. And we're thankful for that forgiveness, Lord. Now help each one of us as we step into this communion this morning to renew ourselves. Renew ourselves to you. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. And as we would be made worthy by your blood, your sacrifice. And help us, Lord, to walk worthy of the vocation, the things you've given us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You can come and receive. Lord, we bless your name. We thank you for carrying that cross. What we have, we didn't earn and we don't deserve. But you've blessed us with it, Lord. Help us to live in humility over being brought into your family, Jesus. We praise you in this moment. We thank you and we rejoice in all you're doing in the earth, in our lives, in our church. We rejoice with all the salvations that have come in the last month, Lord. We praise you for that. You are truly at work. Your prophetic word is coming to pass in our midst. We want to thank you for protecting us, Lord, during this time. We know you're able to do far above what we can think or ask. And everybody said, let's stand to our feet. This is a psalm of David, and listen to the words he gives us. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Here's what he does. Here they are. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. So that your youth is renewed like eagles. Everybody over 50 shouted on that one, didn't they? The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. What good news that is. Nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. That's really all that matters, right? The Bible says if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, there's no profit in that. Really what matters is that we've been washed in the blood of Jesus. We celebrated that this morning with communion. Let's give him praise this morning. He's worthy. Say it with me. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Give him praise this morning. The Bible Bible tells us to rejoice always, no matter what's going on around us, to rejoice always. The Bible speaks to us. We're not to just rejoice when things are going good, right? We're supposed to rejoice when tough times come. So what the world ought to see in us is rejoicing, not complaining, not criticizing others, rejoicing. That's what they should see with us. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Would you all welcome with me those that are on live feed with us this morning? Let's welcome them in the house. Brother Mike is going to head over. If you have any children in elementary school age, you can send them across the street. They can stay with us if you like. That's up to you. Brother Mike's going to cross the street there. So, and try to get some normalcy back. We welcome everybody by, if you're listening to us on 88.3 or if you're watching us by live feed, we welcome you this morning. We are to rejoice always. We got a lot to rejoice, and the prophetic words that God's been giving us through this season have been coming to pass. And in fact, I was reading this week when I prophesied to you Sunday that persecution's coming to the Christians in this country, and I read several articles this week where that is true. Christians are getting blamed. And I actually spoke this in March probably, that before it's over with, Christians and Jews will get the blame for all this. So we're starting to see that already. Not only around the world, but here in our own country, Christians and Jews are going to get the fall for this. But we live in a hostile world, and so we know that this time was coming. I hope I've preached enough over the years to let you know we knew things weren't going to just continue to roll easily, right? Because the Bible says Satan is the god of this world, and his system is going to come to an end someday, but he's working that system as hard and fast as he can to get those who would not follow Christ to fall in line with what he's doing. And that's most of the world. Jesus said, few are going to heaven and many are going to destruction. So have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to drop the landing gear this morning. We're not going to land. We're going to circle the airport a couple of times. We're going to drop the landing gear with this stuff I've been talking to you about on the soul and the spirit. So we're going to drop the landing gear this morning and try to get down a little bit from where we're headed. All right. So Ephesians chapter 3, I want you to look at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. The soul versus the spirit. Now I put this up here, what we started with, and how that Hebrews 4 and 12 is the only thing, the word of God is the only thing that can separate the soul from the spirit. We've defined this many times. So we're going to look at that a little deeper now. We're going to start talking about how we can overcome the soul. Now next week, we're going to start teaching everybody how to talk to themselves. Some of you are already there, aren't you? You're like me. I'm one of those people. I talk to myself already. We're going to teach you how to start talking to yourself and keep on. So today, we're going to start controlling the parking lot. I don't usually give my messages a title, but if I could give this one a title this morning, it'd be Controlling the Parking Lot, the thing we've talked about during this discussion. How do we control what parks in our parking lot? How are we going to control what's going on in our mind? So let's start with verse 8 in Ephesians chapter 3. It says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, Paul speaking, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So that's something the world's long forgotten. The Lord, I want you to know, there's a lot of attributes of God that we could discuss all day long, and we discuss them from time to time. But the ultimate thing that makes God God is he's the boss. Buck stops with him. He gets the last say in everything. He's the potter. He puts us on the wheel. You and I will never overthrow God. Satan tried it. It didn't work. Men's going to try it again. The Bible says in Psalm 2 that he who sits in the heavens shall laugh at them when they try to overthrow him. So God, there's a lot of beautiful attributes about God, but ultimately what makes God God is no one can overthrow him. No one. So He is righteous. He is beautiful. He is lovely. He is merciful. He's a God of judgment. All of that is true, but ultimately what makes him God is no one can overthrow him. That's good news for us. And so he said that God created all things through Jesus Christ to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And look what he says, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ, Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, he's saying, he tells us earlier in this that this stuff was given to him, and he's unfolding stuff that even the heavenly beings didn't understand. That's what Paul's saying. Now, just I'll give you an example of that. Jesus alludes to the rapture in Luke 21 when he gives all the stuff about the tribulation period, and then he says, pray that you be counted worthy to escape all these things. So he kind of alludes it. But Paul in 1 Corinthians says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But and then he talks about in Thessalonians. He unfolds that. So God used the Apostle Paul to unfold a lot of mysteries that were hidden in the Old Testament. They weren't visible the way they are as God used the Apostle Paul. Now the Apostle Paul is a guy, I believe, he's a guy that fully conquered this and lived by that solely. That's how he lived. I'm not there, you're probably not there, but we're on a journey to get there, and how far we get there a lot of times will depend on our cooperation with the Holy Spirit and if we're going to live by faith or not. You know, if you don't live by faith, the Bible says don't think you're going to get anything from God. The Bible also says those who did not take the Word of God and mix it with faith, it didn't profit them. So a lot of people try to take the Word of God and they try to mix it with their soul man. He's not into that unless he's been fully conquered by the spirit man. That's why we see the parable of the sower. Why? Because three people get it in here and one of them gets it right here. That's why the parable of the sower is so real. A lot of people go to the Bible to increase their intellect. And I know a bunch of smart dummies. But the Bible teaches us it's food, it's spiritual life. He said, Jesus said, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. God don't care how big your IQ is. He's the one who made us all anyway. And like I said, intelligence is kind of varies anyway, because I could take you places that you wouldn't know what to do at all, and you could take me places I wouldn't know what to do at all. If I took you to the face of a mountain and said, now go under there and mine coal, you'd throw your hands up in there. If Todd took me to the KU plant, I wouldn't know what to do. I might know where the coal pile's at, and that's about it. Because it's relative. People get smart in areas because God engineered us that way. He had a track for our life. You're not smarter than everybody else. You may be smarter than somebody in some areas, but there are people that are smarter than you in other areas. I could take you to my grandmother who's 95 and had never got past the sixth grade and let her show you how to do some things around the house that people don't know. Intelligence is relative. What we need is we need the Word of God right in here. That's what we need. And that's why the parable of the sower is so real, because there's three people that take it in the soul realm and all the waves, all the stimuli, then to taking it out of them. But this person who gets it down into their spirit, it starts bringing forth fruit. Now, he goes on to say, he's revealing these things. Verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the, say it with me, the inner man. I got news for you. Your outward man's perishing. Did you know that? Is that the first time you've heard that? That's what Paul said. Your outward man's perishing. And we watch people perish all the time, right? I forget how many people die every so many minutes or every second, how many a minute. But he says, for this reason, he says, your inner man, that he would grant you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. God's wanting this guy to get stronger. He's wanting him to get blessed. He's wanting him to get the knowledge and the peace and none. That's what God's after. And the world's after your soul. Do you know the world's after your soul? The world wants your soul. They want control of it. They want to spend time getting stimuli in it. There's a competition going on for your soulish man. You think about all the mediums that you and I are faced with. You need to cut those back, by the way. Just because something new come out don't mean you have to be a part of it. And so your soulish man, there's great competition for him. And through advertising or advertisements, they use that to come after our soulish realm. They want to play on our mind, will, and emotions. And so from all the platforms now that are out there, there's so much competition for your soulish realm. Now, the sane man, if I can use that terminology, the sane man does not weigh his options. The sane man always goes with God. He's spirit. That's the true sane man who's tied into the Holy Spirit. Now, some people get good with their soulish realm, and that can be a hindrance to the spiritual realm because they get good with it. A lot of people get good with their soulish realm. There are people who serve the enemy who are not followers of Christ who are good with their soulish realm. And it's brought them a lot of stuff in their life. It's brought them notoriety. It's brought them wealth, maybe fame, position, whatever. They're good at their soul. And some people who are good at their soul, they're not all bad. Some of them are good people. But if their spirit's not come to life by the Holy Spirit, they're still going to hell. And the problem is that a lot of people who have a lot of intellect, a lot of times it interferes with this because it's simple faith that Jesus is after. Simple faith. And he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So his desire, no flesh, Paul said in the New Testament, no flesh will glory in God's presence. And your soul man is the one that has to be conquered, or he'll interfere with God's will. We've all seen that. I told you last week that I shared with my mother that I had to repent for how much of my life I've lived in the soulish realm. Thinking we're smart, thinking we're outsmarting God or outsmarting the world. And when all the time God was really wanting to flood me in here, and if I allow that, if he gets full control like he did with the Apostle Paul, then I will be smart. I'll be way ahead of the game. That's one of the beauties. I've got five prophetic words from God during this season we're in, and every one of them have been true. Now, how encouraging do you think? And you should be feeding off that encouragement too, because we've got like 7 or 8 more to be baptized, that we should be rejoicing because the angels are. Yes. I mean, God's doing what he prophetically spoke to us. He said, illness is coming, but I'm going to be working in the midst. My wife and I are talking about how God is causing us to flourish in so many ways. Some of you are starting to tell me that too. You're calling me and texting me how even though the world's going through trouble, God's just blowing your world up in a good way. That's the way it's supposed to be. The Bible said they were in darkness all over the land of Egypt except for where God's people were at. He protected them. And somebody said, well, what about that Christian that's suffering? I don't know about that. We don't know their obstacles. We don't know. You don't really know where somebody. Some people may not be living by faith. Some people, it may be their time to go. See, keep your nose out of everybody's business. Keep your face straight and walk with God. That's what you need to do. There's a scripture in Isaiah that says God takes some people, some of the righteous out before the wickedness gets too bad. What about that? What about if God took somebody home with a virus because he saw what was coming down the road? See, we need to get our nose out of everything's business and live by faith and walk with God. That's what we've got to do. And Paul's trying to encourage us to do that. He laid his whole life down. Look at verse 20. I was going to take you another place. Let's go into verse 20 first. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Where do you do that? Right there is where you ask and think. So now you got born again. If you got born again, this guy's come to life. And this is how we conquer the deeds of the flesh and all of the stuff that's not working with God, that's the carnal world, is right here by giving this guy the Word of God. See, this guy's affected by stimuli, and here's so much competition for that from the news, from Facebook, to the computer, to the newspaper, most of them about gone, whatever kind of media, they're coming after him. Advertisements, a word from some neighbor or a whatever, just something to get you to start reasoning everything. This guy over here is saying, give me God's Word, give me God's Word. I'm going to live by that standard. I'm going to work that, and I'm going to push over here, and I'm going to overcome this guy. So the design that God designed for us is that the Holy Spirit takes residence here. We start flooding our lives, our spirit, with the Word of God, and He starts pushing His authority out. That's what happens. So the Holy Spirit, this may sound crude to you, but it's true. When the Holy Spirit invades your life and causes you and I to be born again, His desire is to conquer us. Do you think, I'll just use myself as an example. If this is me and the Holy Spirit does not, He just gets half of me, do you and I think that half of me conquered by the Holy Spirit will be as good as all of me conquered by the Holy Spirit? Listen, let me remind everybody something. The Holy Spirit is 1 billion to the whatever number power, smarter than anybody in this building. He knows exactly who's going to drive a car by this building right at this very moment. He knows who's staying in every hotel room across the street. He knows what you and I are going to eat or not eat when you leave here. He knows everything about that. If you are trying to govern your life solely, S-O-L-E-Y, solely by this guy, you are missing out. This guy knows it all because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. So he's wanting to conquer those reasons. Now, here's why he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to all the power that works in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. So his design is he can do more than this guy can comprehend, is what he's saying. This guy can comprehend it, but this guy can't. So this guy who can comprehend it can override that guy. I had an experience one time. I went to a church to preach, and after I got done preaching, there were people in the altar praying. And there was a lady in the congregation whom the pastor came over and said, I want you to pray this lady. I'd never seen her before in my life. So I went over to pray for her, and I started praying for her. And I didn't pray in the spirit. I was praying in the natural, and I was praying, and I started praying, and then I went out. I was still standing. I didn't fall. I didn't black out. I just went out. And so when I got done praying for that lady, she was rejoicing. And I turned to the pastor, and I said, what did I say to her? I said, because something else was talking to her. And he said, that woman just lost her husband, and everything you said to her was what she needed to hear. I didn't do it. It was in English, but I didn't do it. The Holy Spirit took over and came out of me and spoke exactly what she needed to hear. Amen. Now, I didn't even know what I said. I had to ask those guys, I said, what's going on here? Why is she rejoicing? I was willing to yield myself, and the Holy Spirit found out. Do you know what the Holy Spirit wants with you and I? He wants an outlet. He wants an outlet. He wants an outlet where He can come out of you and I to minister to people. Listen, this life's not where it's at, and I hope this shaking is reminding us of that and waking us up. This life's not where it's at. Everybody that crosses your path, it's about salvation. Make sure you at least set the example for them or share the Word of God. Do you know why my family is in such a heated battle right now over this? It's all about salvation. The system's messed up. So it's all about salvation. We got to understand that your spirit, man, I'm telling you, if we get just a handful of people that realize where the power's at, and that's what we're seeing. That's why God's moving among us the way he is. That's why he's protecting us. That's why he's saving and healing and doing things in our midst, because we're starting to tap in and say, hey, I wouldn't sit here to do this. This guy had his way before this guy come to life. Now I'm supposed to surrender to him so that he can overcome, so that we can be effective tools for Christ. We didn't bring nothing into this world. We're not taking anything out when we leave. So let's go on. I'm trying to get this landing gear down. Now let's look. He says he can do far above. So if you really want, this ain't working out, is it? If you really want the fullness of God, you're going to have to pursue living in the spirit realm and not the soulish realm. Now the soulish man can be an asset to you if he's conquered, but he can also be an interference to you if he's not. Let's go to Philippians. No, let's go to Isaiah 26 first. Isaiah chapter 26. I want to read you a passage here. Isaiah 26. Controlling the parking lot. We can't live in peace if the spirit man doesn't run the show. Your peace will be moved around, messed with. Look at chapter 26 and verse 3 in Isaiah. And I'm going to show you a few words here and try to get you to start clearing out your parking lot or parking the right stuff in it. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Most of you know this passage. Verse 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now, I'm going to show you something here. This is the Hebrew word. That's the Hebrew word for mine in this passage. Yetzer. That's how you'd say that. Yetzer is the Hebrew word for mind in verse 3. You will keep him in perfect shalom whose yetzer is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The word stayed, I've spent a lot of time on that in the past, means to come into agreement with. So, and this word yetzer, I want you to say yetzer. Everybody that's listening, yetzer, because I want you to remember this. Yetzer is translated as imagination. I want you to think about that for a minute. What has the world and its system been after since you were born? They've been after your imagination, haven't they? Guess who else wants it? God. He wants your imagination fixed on him. Your yetzer. Your mind. God wants you to imagine. Let me show you how this works. Now, how many of you, like the missionary who told this on himself, how many of you have imagined what it would be like if you won $10 million? Me and Jerry is the only two. Karen, I think conviction's starting to roll in. However you would have worded that, can you imagine? Have you imagined things that maybe you don't have, and so you get this imagination going? Imagine that you lived at Biltmore and were a Vanderbilt or whatever. I'm just trying. The world is in competition for your imagination. No boy that's played basketball probably didn't, on his dirt court, didn't imagine himself playing basketball in the NBA or something. Maybe the same thing, football, whatever. Your imagination is a great tool because it can help pave a course for you. But when that imagination is not fixed on God, it can also be trouble. How much of the world comes after your imagination from the evil perspective? Lots, right? Lots of that. So here's what he's saying here. He said, he will keep him in perfect peace whose yetzer or whose imagination is stayed on him. I'll read that to you as a Hebrew rendering. It says, the mind stayed on thee, thou keepest is thou keepest in perfect peace because it trusteth in thee. Now, I like the these and thous. They're in the Hebrew. We took them out of the King James, some did. But the reason the Hebrews do that, the Hebrews are very respectful of God. They won't even spell his name. So they don't use these personal pronouns for God that we use for people like we do with each other. And I'm good with that. I think God is that high and lifted up. It says, let me read that to you again. He says, the mind stayed on thee, thou keepest in perfect peace because it trusteth in thee. So God wants your imagination. He wants you to realize that you can go further in him than you can anywhere. Sister Mary is an example of that. She left the holler, joined the army, and I'm going to try to get her to come share her testimony in the near future. But she was a little girl who a blind man in her community would come and pay her a few cents a day, and when she was a young teenager, to come and write his dreams and visions he was having down. And one day he was writing a dream about that he was having her write a dream down about a little girl who left the mountains, had some tragedy, and God called back to the mountains to do a mighty work. And I remember her saying, as she wrote that down, she looked at the blind man and spoke to him and said, well, I don't know who this is about, but it ain't about me. She said, who's this about? And he said, we'll just have to see. He was very discreet. She said, because if I ever get out of this holler, I'm not coming back. So she said a little girl who was 16 come into the holler in a convertible. She said, our parents didn't even have cars, much less a 16-year-old back when I was growing up. Said, she come in the prettiest red convertible in the holler, and she talked to Mary and said she's going to join the army and asked her to join the army with her. And Sister Mary says she went down to the where to join the next day, and the girl never showed up, but she did. So the recruiter, she said, I couldn't take the test. And she said, the recruiter said, well, here, I'll fill it out for you. You can just go on. And sent her to Texas. Had a little boy that she married in Texas. He wound up going to the world, left her. And she grew up knowing, she said, I grew up in a place where if you got divorced, you were going to hell. So she said, I figured I was going to hell. So she said, I went to California. Her job, she went way up in the army. She said, everybody liked to hear me talk, so they'd bring me in. So she talked with a real country twang. She said they. So she just kept climbing the ladder. And you know what her job was during World War II? She was one of the wars. She was, maybe it was Korean War. She was over all the movie stars who got drafted and had to come do their service. She would take care of movie stars, moving them in now. She wound up in California, and she wound up in Jack Hayford School. And the reason she went to seminary, she said, because I wanted to learn about hell. She said, I was going there and I wanted to learn about it. Said she went all through. Said she went way high up, AT&T. Said she went to AT&T and the woman said, let me see you type. And she said, I couldn't type. She said, went over there. And she said, the woman said, you got the job. She said, why do I have the job? Said, I couldn't even type. She said, I just like the way you look. So the Lord just took her. She went way up in AT&T, way up the ladder in AT&T in its early days. There's another part to that story that I can't tell you. That's really amazing. And she goes to the seminary in her last semester. A wonderful professor. She said, I need to learn about hell. And he said, why do you want to learn about hell? And he said, because I'm going there. He said, well, why are you going there? And she told him, and so he gave her so much grace, and God did send her back to the mountains. He did take just somebody out of nowhere and brought them back. And now she's raised 150 children and feeds people all over the state, really, and has her doctorate degree from a little bitty beginning of writing a dream down for a blind man. Now, your God can do far above what you and I can think or ask. Way above it. Don't you limit him. Don't you limit him in what he can do. He says he will Keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We cannot live a life of peace if we let the soul man push us around. Let's go to Philippians. This is where we're going to start putting that landing gear down. Philippians chapter 4. Give your yetzer to the Lord, right? Give your imagination to the Lord. Give your imagination to the Lord. Chapter 4, let's look at verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written, whose names are in the book of life. And look at the next word. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now's the time for us to rejoice. I don't know about you, but I feel like the church has been asleep for the last 20 years. Not necessarily our church, but the church at large. Now things are waking up. People are going home to their reward. Some people are going on to be with Jesus. Some people are getting saved and coming into the body. We're getting prepared for the end of the age. And then he says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. So in other words, the Lord's always here. If you do good, he's there. If you do bad, he's always here. And he says, be anxious for nothing. Let's read this line together. Be anxious for nothing. That's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the most unshakable people in the earth because we've put our trust in Jesus. And he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And we were doing that this morning as a family. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now that's a mouthful. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving. Let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but during this rough season we've been in, when's the last time you've been thankful? You know, if you're not careful, fear and worry will drive all the good stuff out of you. You got to guard against that. Fear and worry. And when fear and worry sets in, then criticism sets in. Because you want everybody to be afraid too. That's how we all are. If we let it move in on us. And so fear and worry will drive all these other things out of. We ought to wake up. I've been trying to get us in the habit of this. 3 times a day. When you get up in the morning, you give God praise. Whatever you're doing at lunchtime, stop and give God praise. Whenever you go to bed, before you go to bed, give God praise. David said, I'll praise you in the morning, I'll praise you at noon, and I'll praise you in the evening. That's our time. This is our time to do that. Rejoice always. He didn't just say rejoice when good things happen. He said rejoice always. Why? Because God is at hand. Do we not see that? We see that, don't we? The way he's protected us and the way he's saved people. God's been right in the middle of all this. He's at hand. And that's why we can rejoice always. He's walking on the water. He's sending us out to catch a boatload of fish. He's always at hand. There's darkness in the world, but there's light in Goshen. That's where God's people were at. You and I can live in the light even if the world is drowning in the darkness. He says, now, make your request known that the peace of God which rises above, is how that would say it in the Greek, which rises above all your circumstances. The peace of God that rises above all your circumstances. Have you ever been at peace in your inner person even though your soul is trying to be pushed around? That's how God wants us to live. I had that experience this week. Don't you think the devil don't try to put words on me? God will put some words on you, and those are the ones I want. But the devil will try to put words on you too. And he'll try to get you to back away from God and start doubting and worrying and all those kind of things. The devil's constantly trying to put words on us. And so there's a battle taking place from the inner man that's saying, don't let that in here. Don't let that in here. And the soul man's saying, yeah, but that makes sense to me. And the spirit man's saying, don't let that in here. Don't let that in here. Look at the next verse, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's any virtue, that word is arete is the Greek word for that. That's another word we want to look at, arete. Arete is the Greek word for that word. And he says, virtue means its power. Let me give you the definition of this word. A manifestation of divine power, a force or strength that, and here's what I like about this meaning. Arete. I'll get it right in a minute. Arete. And it means force that causes. That's what it means. So there's power if our soulish man thinks in line with the Spirit. That's where the power's at. If you don't, you're going to be like the guy in James. And we've all been there, the double-minded person, right? Remember when I preached last week, when Jesus come walking on the water, Peter said, let me out of the boat. He said, come on. He just said, come. And Peter stepped out on that word, right? He got a hold of that word. He stepped out, was doing fine. Then what happened? Stimuli showed up, right? The stimuli showed up. And guess what he started doing? He started reasoning, right? He started reasoning. His spirit man helped him get out of the boat, and he was walking fine. Now, I got no stones to throw at Peter. He's walked on water more than any of the rest of us. But he steps out on the water doing fine until he lets his soul man start looking at all the stimuli. But he's doing okay as long as he steps out on God's word. Now, I'm telling you, if you don't receive God's word, it won't profit you anything. There are people that can hear the same thing that others. Some said, open up, let that in here to me. Some is like, let me think about that. Let me reason through it. What did Jesus say to him in the Greek? Remember me saying this last week? He looked at Peter. He said, why did you double think? That's what it says in the Greek. Why did you double think? You heard my word. You should have kept moving on my word. That's what the spirit man does. He gets fed off God's word. He moves on God's word. This guy, if he's in line with that, and that's what we're talking about here, if this guy will park the right stuff in his parking lot, if he will think on these things, right? What's he say? There's power in that. There's virtue in that. That's the word arete. Look what he says. He says, finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. When you watch, if you watch any news, you're dealing with 99.9% soulish. I don't care if they're good folks. They're not thus saying the Lord. When you watch the political parties go at each other or even go after the same person, they're all doing it in the soulish realm. Nobody's hearing from the Lord. Nobody's walking in the Spirit. It's all soulish. When you watch a newscaster, it's all soul. It's all the soul. And I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying they're all living in the soulish realm. Do you realize you and I have access above everybody if we'll tap into the Spirit realm? Do you know what's given me such confidence to take the position I've taken? Is because I've heard from God. And I've hung my life on it. I read His Word every day. I hang my body on it. I'm living by His Word. I'm not living by the clouds, whether it's going to rain or not. I'm living by His Word. If God gives you a word to go across the street, you don't look to see if it's raining. You go across the street. He's the boss. You can pick up an umbrella if there's one around, but you don't call your plan off when God said go across the street because it's raining or snowing. You keep going.
That's who Paul was. Put through Paul in jail. We got out and went straight back to preaching because he knew what he'd been given to do. Look what it says. He says, that I love how this takes us. It says, whatsoever things are pure, things are lovely. This should be the criteria for how we think. We should think about these things, right? I think I shared this with you before. Somebody came to me and said, somebody's name came up and they said, would you like to know what they think about you? I held my hand up. I said, no. Because right now I can love them and pray for them. If you feed me some stuff, it might hinder me being able to pray for them. I don't really care what people think about me. I care what God thinks about me anyway. But you see what I'm saying? You got to. If the criteria for your thinking is on this, then look what he says. He says, this is how we can start overcoming this soul man. Make him surrender to think. Now, how are you going to do that? You're going to have to do it with stimuli. Or the lack thereof. You're going to have to start controlling the stimuli. You know why? I'm going to say this out loud and loud as I can. Some of you know this and some of you may hear it for the first time. Do you know why Smith Wigglesworth raised the dead in his ministry? Because he stayed in the spirit realm. He wouldn't even let a newspaper in his house because he didn't want his meditation and communion interrupted with God. Well, somebody said, well, that's radical. The proof's in the pudding. How many people have we raised from the dead? What do you want? You want to live like the world? I'm tired of living like the world. And I'm going to be honest with you. Half of us in the church have lived like the world. We've played with their stuff. We've talked with them. We've got afraid like them. We've got political like them. The political system's coming down. The church system's coming down. The hospital system's, it's all coming down. This system's going to collapse. What's going to stand is the Word of God. I've heard people talk about how good their church is, that God's going to give them exemption. I'm like, your church burning to the ground just like everything else. He's going to get up. We ain't going to have a church over there. But I'm saying, you don't need no temple because we got the Lord, right? I'm having a good time. I hope you are. And he says, if there is any virtue, there's any force that causes, if there's any power, if there's any strength, he says, meditate on these things. Now, you know what we've done? We've let the world steal our goodies. We should be the ones that meditate. We should be the ones meditating on God's Word. And I do that. I'm telling you, I got some Word. As soon as I get up in the morning and head to the shower, I turn the Word on and listen to it while I'm in the shower. And that's my wife. Every morning, I turn the Word on. Go straight to the shower. I praise Him early in the morning. I'm going straight to the shower. I don't get a cup of coffee. I don't say, how you doing? What's going on? I don't look outside. I turn the Word on and go to the shower. I love His Word because it's doing stuff in me. And you all know it's doing stuff in me. And we're seeing the fruit of it doing stuff in you all and in its body. God's looking for some people that take Him at His Word and step out of the boat. Look what He said. He said, this is good stuff. He said, if there's any power, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, the God of peace will be with you. What makes a man who gets his brains beat out almost, gets a whip took across him with his buddy for preaching the gospel, actually for casting a demon out of a woman, that's why all this started. He cast a demon, Paul. This woman had been making fun of them the whole time, and Paul finally had enough of her in Acts 16, turn around, cast the demon out of her. When he cast the demon out of her, the guys lose their ability to make money. And so now, let me tell you something. You know what's behind everything? What's the root of all evil? The love of money. Don't forget that when you look outside. And so he keeps going and he casts the demon out of her. They turn him in. He goes, they beat him with whips, lock him and Silas in stocks in the maritime dungeon that's like 100 feet or 75 feet below the city where rats grew in families and colonies, where raw sewage ran in the Roman society called the maritime dungeon. What makes a man, when he wakes up from being half beat to death, to start praising God the first thing that comes out of his mouth? What makes that kind of guy? It's this guy who lives by the Spirit and not by the soul and the flesh. And he starts praising God. And when he starts praising God, what's the Bible say? If we praise him, he will inhabit those praises. And so God came down from heaven into that jail cell with his throne. God went where the sewage was at. How do we know? Because David said, if I take the wings of the morning, you're there. If I go in the depth of the sea, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you will be with me. God will never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us to the end of the age. Now, that makes a guy like that. What he just said. He said, these things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. He's in the Philippian jail too. He's all over the place, in jail. How'd you like to see his resume? What church would hire Paul? Everywhere he goes, he calls rights. Come against false gods. Got through in jail. And that's just his Christian life. What about his sinful life? Look at his resume. He's a man that learned how to live in the Spirit. And that's why he said this. He said, what you've learned, received, and heard, and saw in me, these do. What? Like this. What he just said. Think on these things. This is our key to overcoming our soulish man. Now, I want to say this before I close. I'm not telling you to kill your soulish man. I'm telling you to overcome him. He can be a benefit to us. Our soulish man can be a benefit because he does a lot of recalling. And he does a lot of things. He just needs to get the right stuff. So the starting block for this landing gear is for you to check your stimuli. There are people that God has removed out of my life over the years that I'm thankful he did. Because they just spoke negative and negative and negative and negative. Stimuli. What do you allow to minister to you? This soul realm, this soul man. He can be overcome, but he's got to be retrained, regrooved. We're starting to get our groove on, right? He's got to be regrooved out. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to be regrooved out. Last thing, then I close. There, when this happens here in Philippians 4 and 8, he says, if there's any virtue, if there's any force, if there's anything that causes, right? I'm giving you a phrase of the meaning. That's what it means. And you could use this in a bad way. It could be positive or bad. But whatever causes, that which causes, that power comes from having this soul man surrendered to the spirit man. Let's be honest. How many times have we been talked out of things by our own self, right? We talk ourselves out of it. A soul man. My wife and I think I may have shared this Wednesday, but my wife and I, the Lord spoke to us 20 years ago to give somebody some money. And we didn't do it. We reasoned out why they probably would be okay. Last week, I sent it to him, 20 years later, because my heart was under such conviction. The Lord did take care of them. They're fine, I guess. I've not even seen them or talked to them in years. But the spirit man come up, but the soul man, and it was probably me that time. I think I was the one in the soulish realm acting up. I think I was the one that came against that. The soul man will talk you out of doing for God. Because the soul man's used to just doing for you till you get saved. Now he's got competition. So he says, if there's anything that causes, and I remember sharing this with you all many times probably in conversation and certainly from the Word. You all have heard me use this word before, tharseo. It's the same kind of word here. when we're talking about virtue. Areti is something that causes something to happen. It's a force. And when Jesus said that, he said it to the paralytic. Remember, he said, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. Then he healed him on top of that. Then he's walking on the water and he says, be of good cheer. And there's two accounts of that. Five times this word's used in the Bible, tharseo. Then Jesus speaks of his departure in John 16 and tells us, let's just go over there, and that's where I want to stop today. It's John 16, verse 33. Then I'll close. I promise I'm going to close. I just promised it, and I shouldn't have done that. Now I have to close. But in John 16 and 33, and in Acts 23 and 11, Paul talks about receiving tharseo from God. All these words are tharseo. In John 16, verse 33, he says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Right? In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, the word tharseo, I have overcome the world. Is that enough to keep you going? It should be. That should be enough to keep us all going. The word tharseo is the divine impartation of courage, is what's happening there. So when Jesus speaks that word, he's opening this guy up here, and he's making a divine impartation of courage. I want to speak that over you this morning as his vessel. Be a good cheer, everybody. Be of good tharseo. Because the Lord's overcome the world. Do you know he's got your steps numbered? He's got your days numbered. All you need to do is be faithful and you'll walk those steps out. Rebellion causes trouble, so don't get in rebellion. But just be faithful. He's got your days numbered. He's got the very hairs of your head numbered. He knows how many hairs are on there. So be of good tharseo. That's the same thing, same kind of force he's talking about in Philippians. That which causes. He's saying, if your soulish man gets overcome by the spirit man, there's power in that. I want a less of me and more of him. What'd they say? They went to John. You guys can come to the instruments. They went to John. They said, your guys are leaving and following Jesus. Nah, 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 nah. And John said, he must increase and I must decrease. He wouldn't let them stir him up, would he? Let's stand to our feet. That's the lot all of us should face, that all of us should tackle, is that we must decrease and he must increase. These times like we're living in are made for this, for us to decrease and him to increase. That's what these kind of times are made for. So be of good tharseo. As I get ready to open these altars up, I want you to come and do your business with God, whatever that is. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, then you need to come and surrender your life to him. If you're here and you're in rebellion, you've walked away from God for whatever reason, you need to come and return. But maybe you're here and you're just hearing what I'm saying, you're saying, I want my soul man to be an asset to me, not a hardship, not a hindrance. And you can see that happen in your life if you'll obey God's word. Let that word just come into your body. Let it come into your inner man, like Paul talked about there today. Let it come into your inner man, like he was talking about in Ephesians. Lord, we pray over everybody under the sound of my voice. We know that you are able to do far above what we can think or ask. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will minister to us, Lord, as we surrender more of the territory in our lives. Let this man, this soulish man that gets in our way, let him be brought under the power of the Holy Spirit. Let him walk according to the Spirit. We know you can do far above what we can think or ask. Our soulish man is limited, God. He's limited. But our spirit man is not limited. And we thank you, Lord. As we worship you, have your way in our lives. This altar's open. Will you come?